Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of the Early Line live on this Tuesday on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us all around the Sports Grid network. A football second hour live right here on TEL. Just 3 weeks left of this NFL regular season in 2023. A Monday night finale last night of week number 15. The Seahawks and Drew Lock pull off the stunner over the Philadelphia Eagles out in the Pacific Northwest. So 3 weeks remaining in jumbled playoff pictures in both of the conferences. Wild card races with numerous teams all having the same records in the AFC and the NFC. A few divisional races still up in the air as well. We'll set the stage for the future forecast live right here in this hour on the Early Line.
Yeah, by the way, get your calculators out here to try to determine who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be out, and who's playing for what seeding here. It's going to be a lot of fun to break down. It almost feels like the in-season tournament in the NBA. Oh. We need 10 minutes every single day just to keep the people updated on what can happen. We're going to go over that, by the way, a little bit later. And it's funny because usually it's like, hey, you take a look at the NFC South, the AFC South. It's like, okay, who can win this? There are so many different changing components where you look at one team, Ben, and go, hey, they can get in. And go, like, oh, hold on, this team should get in. No, wait a second. The third team should get in here. It's a lot of fun to watch it play out. This is exactly what the NFL loves, and they're going to get big ratings from it.
And that's the idea, right? Teams like the four in the NFC at 7-7, four in the AFC at 8-6. Are these teams going to be true conference contenders in either of the two conferences in the NFL? Maybe not, but the race down the stretch for those playoff spots is going to be very, very good. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here to our second hour live on a Tuesday on TEL. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. You're listening on Sirius XM Channel 1. 159, all of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the mix as well. So big news as we enter week number 16. We have a Thursday night football game. We've got a doubleheader on Saturday, a full Sunday slate, a triple header on Monday, not just because it's Monday night football, it's Christmas. In the NFL, we'll be playing three games on Christmas. Part of the doubleheader on Saturday, a change at the quarterback spot for the Pittsburgh Steelers, as Kenny Pickett looks to get healthy and recover from that ankle tightrope surgery he had just a few weeks ago. The Steelers no longer starting Mitch Trubisky. They're making the move to Mason Rudolph. They are not ruling out Kenny Pickett, by the way, for the game against Cincinnati this upcoming weekend. But Donnie, I don't think it's a good thing when the sentence for Pittsburgh is still in the AFC wild card race, benching Mitch Trubisky for Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, you could bench every. They should just go wildcat at this point, how bad the quarterback play has been. And that includes Kenny Pickett as well. They just never got off on the right foot here in this 2023 season. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers making a move to Mason Rudolph. They have the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and also, who else? The Seattle Seahawks to play on their schedule. Yeah. And it's going to be a monumental effort here just to get the Pittsburgh Steelers to say Mike Tomlin did not have a losing season. Because I actually think they're probably going to lose all three of those football games. Why? Their defense isn't as good as advertised, and they don't get anything out of the quarterback position. That's a deadly combination.
They've been outgained in 13 of their 14 games so far this season. The Pittsburgh Steelers at this stage are one of those teams at 7-7. But, Donnie, they really could have been 9-5 at this point. Let's not forget this three-game losing skid started with two consecutive home losses, booked as at least a 5.5-point home favorite against the Cardinals, who had two wins entering, now make that three, and the Patriots had two wins entering, now make that three, the third win for both Arizona and New England over Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's Mitch Trubisky or TJ Watt playing quarterback. The Steelers should have figured out ways to win those football games. The Steelers at home back in Acrisure, the first game up of the two on Saturday, the Steelers booked as a 2.5-point home underdog against divisional foe Cincinnati, who has won three straight games. Pittsburgh will not be with DeMonte Casey on Saturday or for the remainder of this season. Casey yesterday, Donnie, suspended for the remainder of this NFL season for continuous violations of rules put in place by the National Football League to protect player health and safety. He had a large hit on Josh Downs on Saturday in Indianapolis that was penalized for a personal foul. He has been fined multiple times this year for plays that have been considered in violation of health and safety in the National Football League.
Yeah, multiple safeties, Ben, have been suspended at least four games this year in the NFL. I should have said defensive backs. It just sounds so much more egregious when it's like, hey, we threw him out for the season. Well, there's only three games left, so in effect, it's a three-game suspension. But also, this is a guy that's been a habitual line crosser here this season already, so you're not going to get the benefit from the league. And also, I bring this up too. Football players on the field, they're trying to make plays. I understand that. Sometimes you don't make great decisions. I understand that as well. But the NFL, it's also a fraternity. And they're supposed to be your brothers in arms out there when you play against each other. You see why they dap it up at the end of the game. Hey, man, good game. Played hard out there. Your job isn't to make the other guy into a wheelchair compatible for the rest of his life here. That's the thing that upsets me the most. It's not that, what do you want the DB to do? I don't want him to go out there and be a laser beam and his only goal in mind is to do maximum impact and damage against a defenseless receiver. And for the people that get upset about it, I understand, but it's not the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s anymore. They're actually not so much even worried about, Ben, just the wide receiver that gets hit. You're worried about the defensive back that's plowing into people like that, who you know that's going to cause CTE-like conditions later in their life if they continue to do that here. It's a tough scene all the way around. There are no winners in that equation, but I did like the NFL suspending him the rest of the way. You can't keep doing that. Sooner or later, it's going to be catastrophic, and that's a bad look for everybody.
We can argue whether the rules are correct. We can argue about the sport that is football and how grueling and dangerous a game it is. But the rules are in place, and they've been in place for multiple seasons now. If you continuously violate them, there are going to be consequences, not just personal foul penalties in games, but suspensions and or fines following. So a quarterback change in Pittsburgh for a team on a slide, a quarterback change in Atlanta for another team on a slide. The Falcons have lost two straight, booked as a favorite against two teams from the NFC South at home 2 weekends ago against the Bucks. On the road last week in Carolina in a torrential downpour, the Panthers picked up their second win of the season over the Falcons. Desmond Ridder threw for less than 150 yards. He's now on the bench. Taylor Heinicke, for a second time this year, steps in as the starter for the Falcons.
That's a good move for them. Why? Because, number one, I think the book is closed on Desmond Ridder. You get some clarity in the offseason to go out to get your starting quarterback, which maybe you could have got this year, but you drafted Bijan Robinson. You don't use Bijan Robinson. That's another thing. But I like the fact that you can now open up. Pitt should have a better game. London should have a better game on the outside, and this offense should be able to move. I'm already looking at a total 44.5. Let's hit that over this weekend. Let's go.
It's a good thing for Atlanta right now that they are going with Taylor Heinicke and they're booked as a home underdog, given as a favorite this year. They're just 2-8 against the spread. We're back on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. A ton of football here in this second hour. He is Donnie. I am Ben. After throwing for 302 yards in his first start of the 2023 NFL season, the Vikings are sticking with Nick Mullins. He will remain the starting quarterback for Minnesota this upcoming weekend in week number 16. It's the right call, Donnie. It wasn't because of Nick Mullins that Minnesota lost the football game on Saturday in a wild fourth quarter in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Minnesota is 7-7. If the season ended today, they would have the second of three wild card spots in the NFC. Is Nick Mullins enough, though, Donnie, to lead Minnesota into the playoffs?
I think it is, because you said to yourself, well, who else is going to go here? You're actually having a defense that's playing quite well as of late. They should have won that football game on the road, but didn't, and that's going to happen. Mullins is one of those guys that is a big boom or bust guy. Yeah, he can throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns, but he can also give you the two interceptions like he did over the weekend. But I look at Justin Jefferson, Osborne at wide receiver, Addison. That should be good. And also Chandler, running back, coming on strong last week. Also, as you continue to play and be entrenched as the starter, your knowledge for the game, even though I'm not knocking Nick Mullins for, hey, we saw him play a lot in San Francisco, didn't work out all that well, but when you get back into that cockpit here and you have full control of that offense and the players are looking towards you, that leadership role will continue to enhance. I'm not hating on Nick Mullins at quarterback. I don't think it's a downgrade at all. Matter of fact, it's an upgrade from what you're getting as the ceiling for what Josh Dobbs actually was. I think he can get him to the playoffs, Ben. I do.
So when you look at week number 16, Detroit is in Minnesota against the Vikings. It's the first of two matchups between these two teams. With a victory, I am pretty sure, and the Lions are booked as a three-point road favorite in the Twin Cities, Detroit is going to win the NFC North. Detroit is going to win its first divisional title in the National Football League in three decades since 1993. But can Minnesota win this game outright as an underdog? They did not cover last week. They were a three-point dog in Cincinnati at the time of close. The Bengals won, of course, by three in overtime. They are now 4-1-2 against the spread as an underdog this year. Minnesota not bad at keeping games that are decided by single digits. That has been the story for the Vikings the last 2 years. But something to keep an eye on, all the potential clinching scenarios that we have week number 16. So as we go around the National Football League and even look back at the college ranks and making their next move, Jaden Daniels will not play in the ReliaQuest Bowl against Wisconsin in bowl season because the Heisman Trophy winner is getting ready for the National Football League. He will make the move, and he might be a first-round selection when all is said and done in late April.
Yeah, you know what would have been really cool here? The Heisman Trophy winner getting a chance to play in the national championship game, because we had a 24-30 team playoff, which most other Division III, Division II schools get to go through here. But instead, we're going to look at the NCAA and say, we don't want this guy playing in a meaningless game. No, you don't. That's the whole point of this year. And this is, again, me grandstanding here in the future. Jaden Daniels will be playing for a championship, which is everybody would want to see, the Heisman Trophy winner, bonanza ratings, if LSU can go on a run and make it happen with Malik Nabers and that exciting wide receiving core. But now we're going to get him moving on to the NFL because we play meaningless football games once the season is over. He deserves to go to the NFL. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But boy, you know what would have been even more fun? If he got another crack at some of those SEC teams in the playoffs to right some of those wrongs that were earlier in the season, Ben.
Two things. LSU would not be playing for a national championship even in a 64-team playoff. That defense is atrocious. Number two, meaningless. Somebody did not watch the famous Toastery Bowl yesterday, and it shows. That person would be Donnie Wrightside. It could never be me. Wisconsin, a 7.5-point underdog still against LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl later this month. What I find interesting is Jaden Daniels, who threw for 3,812 passing yards this season in his Heisman Trophy winning campaign, was only just over 180 yards away, of course, from throwing for 4,000 yards this year. He would have been the second ever FBS quarterback, only behind Deshaun Watson, or alongside Deshaun Watson, I should say, to throw for 4,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards in a single season. As we look at the NFL draft odds, Caleb Williams remains the hefty favorite at minus 500. 500 to be the number one overall pick. Drake May second at 4-1. Marvin Harrison Jr. plus 2,000. And Jaden Daniels 35-1. Where his stock grows as we get ready in the NFL draft cycle for late April in that 2024 NFL draft with a perceived ton of teams that will need a new quarterback, that will be interesting to follow. Now as we focus on college football, Dante Moore, who was the number two quarterback recruit in last year's class in 2023, entered the transfer portal, leaving UCLA earlier this offseason. He's not going all that far, just up the Western Seaboard to Eugene, Oregon. He is committed to the Oregon Ducks football program, who got Dylan Gabriel already in this transfer portal. Gabriel, who has 1 year left of college eligibility, will be the guy this year. Dante Moore said he wanted to be developed at a high level. He will get that opportunity. And shout out to Dan Lanning, who has had great success with quarterbacks in the transfer portal. First Bo Nix, now Dylan Gabriel, and then his quarterback for the future as well, and Dante Moore.
I like this move here. And Dan Lanning, you know, he's got the gift of gab. He can sell you on that program. And then good old Uncle Phil comes in and drops that bag off on your doorstep and says, welcome to the neighborhood, kid. Eugene is a fine institution and you will love playing at the University of Oregon. And I also love a kid that does a transfer move here, knowing that he's got to battle another really good football player to win. Competition usually breeds success, and if he's not going to be the quarterback this year, he'll probably be next year as a starting quarterback at Oregon. Get the bag, get the competition, and move on. I like this move.
Yeah, a big move for Dante Moore, a big move for Oregon as the Ducks make a big move to the Big Ten Conference this upcoming season. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Dylan Gabriel himself, who will be the starter at QB more than likely for the Ducks in 2024, will have one of the three best prices to win the Heisman Trophy in 2024. Kenny Dillingham, who was the offensive coordinator 2 seasons ago under Dan Lanning in Oregon, that reinvented Bo Nix's college career, now the head coach at Arizona State, gave way to Will Stein. Will Stein was one of the runner-ups for the Broyles Award to the best assistant coach in college football. Will Stein is a great offensive mind who will certainly be floated as a name to know as a young up-and-coming FBS head coaching candidate in the years to come, but he's got some quarterbacks in Gabriel and then Dante Moore to work with. Also, the number one quarterback recruit in the 2023 class, who was only ahead of Dante Moore, Malachi Nelson, officially enters the transfer portal. He is leaving USC. The number one quarterback recruit in the 2024 class that was originally committed to Georgia is Dylan Raiola, except he made a huge flip yesterday ahead of National Signing Day tomorrow. Raiola following in the footsteps of his father, Dominic. He is going to play for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Dylan Raiola is the highest rated recruit Nebraska has ever seen. He is one of 23 quarterbacks, according to 24/7 Sports, since we started recruiting rankings, Donnie, in 2000, to have a .9960 composite rating or better. That is where Dylan Raiola is, stacking up as just the third ever five-star to commit to Nebraska in the history of the football program.
Matt Rhule gets it. You know what Matt Rhule does? Hey, John Calipari, how do you put together a winning staff here that we can get top-level players? And John Calipari will tell you, put a family member on the payroll, man. Quickest way to get there and get that love. 2022, Nebraska hires the new offensive line coach, Mr. Raiola. Probably saying, you know what? He's a good coach, and there might be a family benefit down the line. That's how you win. That is a smart man that is a head coach there, and they're reaping the benefits now. Raiola, five-star. Get that offense clicking here. Genius moves all the way around in the new NIL era. I love it.
They might erect a statue for not only Dylan Raiola, but Donovan Raiola, as Donnie just mentioned right there. The offensive line coach, Dominic's brother, and Dylan's uncle. That is what Nebraska has done. A bowl game on this Tuesday, the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. UTSA, a 12.5-point favorite. We'll look at that game when best bets come around later on. Back to the NFL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, week number 16 of the National Football League regular season, beginning the final 3 weeks of this regular season around the NFL, starts in just 2 days. An intriguing Thursday night football game between the Rams, a 4-point home favorite, against a team from the NFC South. That would be the New Orleans Saints. Out in LA, the Saints a 4-point underdog, the over-under 44.5. The reason we focus on that game is because the NFC South is a division very much up in the air at this stage. I think, Donnie, a lot will be decided in the NFC South in the final 2 weeks when the Saints host the Buccaneers and end their season on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. Those two games between those three teams, probably the ultimate outcome, but let's look at the NFC South at this moment. The Bucs sit in the first place spot at 7-7. The Saints also 7-7, but the Buccaneers have the tie break based on the head-to-head victory over New Orleans back in the opening month and a half of this NFL season. The Falcons, as we shared, now going to Taylor Heineke. Atlanta has dropped two in a row, booked as a favorite, but at 6-8, only a game behind both the Buccaneers and the Saints. How do you make sense of the NFC South?
It's hard to make sense of it because all three of these football teams are majorly flawed, but somebody does have to win the division and move on. And a lot of these teams are going to be playing each other and other common opponents and tough opponents here. A Rams game that you thought maybe 4 to 5 weeks ago for the Saints, like, hey, you know, we're going to go out to LA. That should be an easy victory. Not the case. The Rams playing just as good at football as anybody outside of the San Francisco 49ers, it feels like, right now in the NFC. But if we're looking from a Saints perspective, I do think they lose this weekend. They have three games left. If they can go 2-1, but the losses have to come at the right time, if that makes sense, which means you're going to lose to the Rams this weekend. Why? Back-to-back games against the Buccaneers and the Falcons, two teams you're fighting with tooth and nail. You pick up two divisional victories. That could change the landscape overall. But if I'm being honest, like, the Saints, Ben, picked up two wins. So, hey, man, they're on a two-game win streak. Did you guys see who they played in those two wins? The Carolina Panthers and the New York Giants. Now you're getting back to reality and playing quality football teams that are playing for a lot down the stretch. I'm rooting for the Saints. I have a ticket on the Saints to win that division. I'm not so sure they're the best team right now. It really looks like the team that's putting it together at the right time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as you see that graphic there, the favorites at minus 134 to win the NFC South, and rightfully so. I don't love the Buccaneers, but I'm getting a little bit more like, you know what? The best quarterback right now playing, that's Baker Mayfield. Two top wide receivers that are healthy and putting in work, that's Tampa Bay here. Getting a running game out of Rashad White, that's Tampa Bay here. I'm hoping, and that's never a good word here when you're trying to win bets or win money, that the Saints can handle their business, but I don't even think they will this Thursday night. And again, that two-game win streak, a little bit of a mirage from who they played. We'll see what happens. Right now, the favorite, I'll roll with them with Tampa Bay. I think they're the best team right now in the NFC South.
They held two offenses in Carolina and a slightly banged up Tommy DeVito and the New York Giants, where the fun was going to have to run out at a certain point to 6 points each in their last two games. But they lost three straight entering this two-game win streak, where their opponents scored at least 24 points. The Rams offense is certainly on the uptick. LA has won four in a row. So the Saints, after this game, head to Tampa Bay. I will be interested to see who the favorite is in that football game, probably giving the edge to the Bucs, but it's going to be a point and a half, 2 point spread, probably at maximum, if both teams enter relatively healthy, and New Orleans will enter at least with a rest advantage in that football game. And then the Saints end the year at home in the Superdome against the Atlanta Falcons. So when you look at where things stand, the Saints have a difficult schedule, but it could set up better for them. The easiest schedule of the three teams remaining in the NFC South, that would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But is it as easy as it appears? A home game against New Orleans next weekend. Tampa finishes the year against the Carolina Panthers. That is a huge benefit to why Tampa has the easiest schedule remaining of the three teams still alive for the divisional race in the NFC South. And maybe, just maybe, fortune will be on their side come Sunday at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right now, it's a minus 108 dead even money line pick 'em for both of these teams. with Trevor Lawrence now in concussion protocol. And we heard from Dr. Chow yesterday, Donnie, when he joined us here on a Monday on the early line, say that he would not be surprised if Lawrence misses one of the first few starts of his NFL career. Trevor Lawrence, in his 3 years in the National Football League, has pretty much started and played in every game. This might be one of the ones he misses, despite the ankle injury he suffered a few weeks ago. That's what the line is saying right now, even on both sides, minus 108 for the Buccaneers, minus 108 for the Jaguars. So against the team with the best record still remaining on their schedule, Tampa might get the gift, and it's hard to call it a gift with somebody in concussion protocol, but Tampa might get the benefit of playing C.J. Beathard and Jacksonville, not Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
And also, it's not as if you're saying, like, oh, man, Jacksonville's offense has been moving up and down the field with Lawrence. This is going to be a devastating loss. They've already lost three games in a row, and you figure they shouldn't with a quarterback of the caliber of Trevor Lawrence. And now you're handing it over to a quarterback that's not as good. Tampa played great football, and they're at home. We'll see what happens this week coming up, but it's not a good look for Jacksonville. Just a few short weeks ago, we were talking about Jacksonville as the possible number one overall seed in the AFC. Three losses later where you're not playing great football, that changes the mind of a lot. Now, Cleveland looks like they're headed to the playoffs. Just take a look at the last two losses, right? Looks like they're going here. Last week, you played the Baltimore Ravens, currently the number one overall seed in the AFC. But also, you might be down your quarterback, as you pointed out, and against a team of Tampa Bay that has a lot to play for here. So even if you do start a backup, it's like, oh, it's the Giants, it's the Carolina Panthers. We can easily win this game. This is going to be tough, and you're right. Jacksonville opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a field goal favorite, has flipped over here to Tampa Bay because the anticipation here of what we're going to expect out of Trevor Lawrence. In years past, Ben, we might be like, yeah, concussion protocol. He's probably feeling better. He'll play, no doubt about it. But this year, it feels like 9 out of 10 players that had a concussion the week before missed the next football game. This is the same conversation, Ben, we talked about last week with the Houston Texans. Let's weigh our opinions here. Trevor Lawrence healthy and ready to go for the next 15 years, or back-to-back concussions here, which could be devastating on his career. That's what Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to have to figure out this week.
And a benefit for the Atlanta Falcons, the final team in this three-team equation to talk about, to be back at home. One of the reasons I liked Carolina to pull off the outright upset last week in Charlotte and get their second win of the year was not the terrible weather, but because of how bad the Falcons have been on the road under Arthur Smith. 3-14. They're back at home as a slight underdog, where they have been a lot better, 2-8 against the spread as a favorite this year against Indianapolis. But the Colts have won 5 of their last 6 games, and in all 5 games, the Colts have been a slight favorite, never laying more than the 2. Indy laying 1.5 here. Do you give the Falcons, Donnie, any realistic chance to come back and win this division in the NFC South?
I mean, there is a chance here. You're going to take on a team with the Indianapolis Colts. There are flaws there. You got them at home. And also, I think you're getting an upgrade at the quarterback position. I didn't hate what Ridder was doing, but I believe he's the top 5 in the NFL with turnovers. I think he has 16 now, and you're not getting the burst that you need. Yeah. You have a wide receiver that you spent a first-round draft pick on, a tight end that you spent a first-round draft pick on. They're not getting the football or being used in space. That needs to change, and I think that will change with Heineke at quarterback. But looking forward, they still have the Saints to play, and that Saints game is going to be on the road. Yeah. And we talk about, oh, well, the easier part is the Chicago Bears. The Bears aren't an easy opponent. They're going to fight you tooth and nail here. So if I'm looking at one team on the way out of that division, more likely to be the Atlanta Falcons. But that whole mindset could change. If Heineke gives you what he gave you in Washington, which means he can be a competitive quarterback, make the throws and be active in the pocket, things could change right away, because I do think their offense is going to be much better this weekend.
And this is their final home game of the year, the final 2 for the Dirty Birds, on the road in Chicago, on the road in New Orleans. Now, it's not just the NFC South, at least for the 2 top teams. If you think the Falcons are going to get to the playoffs, it's by way of winning this divisional championship in the NFC South. Bet the plus 640. Do not bet the plus 520 make playoff price, because the only way they're winning this division or getting to the playoffs is winning this division. But for the Buccaneers and or the Saints, Donnie, whoever wins the division, the other team might have a shot in the NFC wild card because there are five teams, including both of the two in the NFC South, that are 7-7 overall right now in the NFC playoff picture, alongside the Vikings, the Seahawks after the stunner last night, and the LA Rams. The Saints will take on the Rams on Thursday Night Football. The Rams, a 4-point home favorite. I still do believe, and you can see it in the prices there, with right now to win the division minus 134 for the Buccaneers, but minus 230 to make the playoffs. I still do believe there is a shot for either of the two teams in the NFC South, currently at 7-7, who don't win the divisional crown, to maybe, just maybe, have some hope in the wild card race in the NFC.
Yeah, and you're right about that, too. And they were probably big fans of the Philadelphia Eagles last night because they allowed the Seattle Seahawks to get that seventh win and make that even more of a murkier situation. If I have my druthers right now, because, again, I know you can't do this because all these teams are in the mix. For me, it just feels like only one team in the NFC South is going to make it in, and that's going to be the division winner. And right now, it just feels to me like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are that team. Now, all of these teams are coin flips here on a week-to-week basis, what you're going to get. Right. I was surprised at how well Tampa Bay played. Not surprised they won, but how well they played on the road with Baker Mayfield. He's always had that caliber to take it up another notch here. We just hope we don't see that destructive Baker Mayfield, which turns the football over too much. Big game this weekend, and again, sometimes it's better lucky than good. No Trevor Lawrence or Trevor Lawrence in the game. That could determine whether or not you win the division, and it looks like we're probably trending to no Trevor Lawrence, which is, again, is a hand up there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I would set the win total right now at 1.5 for the divisional champ in the NFC South. If you can go over, if you can win two of your final three games and you are 9-8, I think you are winning this division. The Bucs in a pick'em game this weekend. The Saints in underdog. If you're looking to back either of those two, I think the division price makes more sense. Now to the AFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, getting you set for the final 3 weeks of this NFL regular season. A couple of divisional races around the National Football League, very much still up in the air. Both of the South divisions. We just focused on the NFC South. Now we flip it over to the AFC. The AFC South, where only a few weeks ago, the Jacksonville Jaguars were going to win this division. They were a minus 1,000 favorite when they were 6-3. Well, the Jags have struggled here as of late. In fact, when they were 8-3, this was going to be their division. Now, they're just 8-6. They have lost three consecutive games, and Jacksonville's status moving forward, very murky. Minus 112. Now for the Jaguars to win the AFC South Divisional Crown for a second consecutive year. They're 8-6. So too are the Colts and the Texans, plus 280 for Indy, Houston 10 cents behind at plus 290.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one to watch it play out here because some of these teams feel like they're equally deserving to make it. Houston never saw this coming before the season here. Indianapolis never saw this coming. But here they are playing good football week to week. And also, even with massive injuries to key components of your team throughout the season, with both of those teams, Indianapolis and Houston have had, they've somehow come out and said, you know what? Looks like we're still going to make the playoffs, which is incredible. DeMeco Ryans, kudos to you, Shane Steichen. Same exact thing, which then puts the central focus here, as I like to say, Ben, on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who do they have this weekend? Tampa Bay. The question is, who are we going to get quarterback, and is that going to matter? Of course it's going to matter. Trevor Lawrence is much better than any other player that you have can fill in for him. But hear me out on this. You lose this game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's an NFC loss, which doesn't hurt nearly as bad as an AFC loss or a divisional loss. You end the season, Carolina Panthers, dead in the water, no chance to make the playoffs. Tennessee Titans, Ben, same exact thing. We don't even know if Derrick Henry's even going to play in that game. Why waste him down the stretch and get him injured for next year, which I believe he's going to be a free agent? So we take a look at Houston and Indianapolis. Here's the issue with their schedules. They're going to play each other here. Excuse me, Indianapolis is going to play the Texans, and the Texans also, I don't know why it doesn't have that roll. Oh, it does have it roll over us. I'm sorry. I was reading it backwards. That's going to be an elimination game, it feels like. And also for Indy, you still play the Falcons on top of that here, a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. And then you take on the Raiders, who are playing with a coach and a team that's like, let's build momentum for next year if we can't get in. Houston goes back. They play the Colts and the Browns, along with the Titans, who they should win. The schedule favors Jacksonville. 31 out of 32 teams, they are 31st here in the NFL with strengths of schedule. So for my money, I would sit Trevor Lawrence this weekend, handle your business against two teams you should mop the floor with, and then watch the chaos between Houston and Indianapolis. I still think it's Jacksonville's division for me, Ben.
Completely agree. And I think you're getting a really good price on Jacksonville right now. Now, the Jaguars have been atrocious defending the football. Baltimore ran all over them. The previous 2 weeks, teams threw all over Jacksonville. Cincinnati and then Joe Flacco and the Cleveland Browns. So maybe what we're discussing here with Trevor Lawrence's status now in concussion protocol isn't really the linchpin for Jacksonville this weekend in Tampa. But after Baker threw for 381 and four touchdowns and had a perfect passer rating in Green Bay, it is cause for concern for the Jags, regardless who is playing quarterback. But to your point, Donnie, I don't really think it matters. I don't think this weekend really makes a lick of difference for Jacksonville, because their final two games, home against Carolina, on the road in Tennessee, two atrocious teams. And they are going to be favored to win both of those games. And I expect Jacksonville, led by Doug Peterson, to win both of those games. So is it worth it to maybe wait a week and potentially get Jacksonville at minus money, or at plus money, excuse me, to win the AFC South? Maybe so, but it's a pick'em game right now in Tampa against the Buccaneers, who have been great. They've won three in a row, their last two outright as a road underdog in Atlanta and in Green Bay. It makes sense the Buccaneers are trending in a positive way at this moment. But I think this is also a time to jump back in on Jacksonville, who, again, a few weeks ago was minus 1,000 to win the AFC South title. And they are in this spot only because of themselves and Indianapolis and Houston still keeping pace. But let me just finish with this. The reason Jacksonville, in my mind, has a clear upper advantage in this division is because they've already played all four divisional games, both against Houston, both against Indy. They split against the Texans. They won both against the Colts. Indy and Houston will end the year against one another. That tiebreaker could be monumental for the divisional race, could be monumental for the wild card race as well. But at this moment, because Jacksonville swept Indianapolis and the Colts have the head-to-head advantage over Houston, that's why Jacksonville sits in first, and that is the huge advantage for the Jaguars at this moment, who have dominated the AFC South, a 4-1 divisional record, more than likely 5-1 after a season-ending victory over Tennessee. That could be a huge tiebreaker advantage for the Jaguars. All that to say, Donnie, again, I think the price on Jacksonville at minus 112 at the moment is worth considering if you want to get back in on the Jags.
It is, and also, you have to know this if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? The percentages are in your favor. It's the same way I talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Do I like what I see now? Absolutely not. But if they beat a couple really bad football teams, they're still going to wind up the number two overall seed. You have to be a realist about the season, because we can't do this 2 or 3 weeks ago. But like, oh, look at all these key components. Like, no, your three games are right in front of you. You know exactly what the stakes are. And quite frankly, we wouldn't be talking any of this year if the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence were healthy this week and maybe won a game over the past 3 weeks, right? But they put themselves in this spot by their own doing. Bad play and injuries here, that's going to happen, but there's still a way to get out of this. And again, if you see most people, oh man, I can't believe it, Tampa Bay won by a touchdown over the Jacksonville Jaguars, that's a 4 straight loss, that's absolutely done. Not the case here, because we just told you they have 2 layups left on their schedule, which they should win easily just by de facto of one team is playing for the playoffs, the other just playing to get on the golf course here. So I don't like the way Jacksonville is playing now, but I don't think that actually matters. They can lose another game and still be fine here, just playing at the string. Now, you do get into dangerous territory by saying, ah, yeah, we lost 4 in a row. It's no big deal. We'll just get right back to winning. It's hard to flip that switch sometimes, but if you're going to see a football team that's won 2 games on the season as a benchmark, yeah, you're going to get excited and should be able to roll over football teams like that.
And listen, I know it's not easy to say, well, with if a healthy quarterback in Trevor Lawrence was out there, these numbers would be completely different. But because he is not, here is your value for a guy that has pretty much started every single game for the Jaguars the last three NFL seasons. I understand all of that. But these numbers are going to be incredibly different, probably closer to $2 for the Jags in favor to win the AFC South. And as we shared earlier, as Donnie mentioned, Jacksonville opened as a 3-point road favorite in Tampa Bay, even after the defeat they took against Baltimore at home on Sunday Night Football. If Trevor Lawrence was healthy, I think there is some benefit. And frankly, if C.J. Beathard is there, he's not my concern for the Jaguars. It's slowing down Baker Mayfield and this Buccaneers offense that all of a sudden has some life the last few weeks. Baker to Chris Godwin, Baker to Mike Evans, Rashad White and all that he does now for this Buccaneers offense. That's my concern for Jacksonville this week. Lawrence or Beathard, I'm not really all that concerned. And again, I'm not really all that concerned about Jacksonville in this spot, knowing what is on the horizon. So let's talk about the other two AFC South teams in week number 16. Because, Donnie, both teams very much alive in the wild card race at this moment. Indy holds on to the seventh and final playoff spot at this moment. Houston just behind them based on that head-to-head difference. They will end the year against one another. Houston's a 2.5-point home favorite this week, Donnie, against the Cleveland Browns. It's a line that doesn't make a lick of sense to me to see Cleveland as an underdog in Houston, and the Texans have been abysmal as a favorite this year. They have a sub-500 record straight up when booked as a favorite, but the line is not the line just because it doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to stay away. We shared Indianapolis, a slight 1.5-point road favorite in Atlanta. The Colts have won 5 of their last 6. They have covered in all 5 of those wins as well, booked as a 2-point favorite or less in all 5 of those victories.
And we're taking a look here at the Cleveland Browns, right, coming to town. You say, boy, I really like the way they're playing. Well, granted, they won back-to-back games at home. Nice win over the Jaguars, and then a comeback victory over the Bears, which they probably should have lost. Previous games before that were on the road. A blowout loss to the Broncos, and the final score, a blowout loss to the Rams. So there is something to be like, okay, home cooking, it's worked out really well for us. Now we go on the road. And the Houston Texans, as we know, are hoping to get C.J. Stroud back in this football game, and probably will. So therefore, your advantage. And if we're just taking a look at home field and what it's worth in the NFL, it's always just been over the years, maybe around 3 points here, and that's what you're seeing, because it is a true coin flip game. You're just going on a recency bias. How well has Cleveland played at home? They played well. How have they played on the road? Not so good. Both of these teams need the game, including Houston. That's why I can see that slight favorite in that moment here. The one interesting thing that's going to be brought up here is like the Atlanta Falcons, right, and where they sit with the Indianapolis Colts. Now, if you are the Colts, you're probably like, hey, man, throw Desmond Ridder back into that lineup. I'm interested to see how they come out in that game with Heineke, because that also is a game that both of these teams need. And as we know, but it's really hard to win on the road. And sometimes with your back against the wall, you make some of those decisions. Hey, we hoped Ridder could be our quarterback that would lead us all the way through the season and into the playoffs. It's clearly not the case. That team is way too talented, Ben, on offense from a wide receiver, tight end, and running back position, not to walk up and down the field, not game manage the situation. They're hoping Heineke can throw that football downfield to open up the rest of the things in the offense that they like to do, which includes getting Bijan loose for 15 to 20 touches in a football game. So we'll be interested in the playoff. But getting back to Houston here, I do think they should be the favorite over Cleveland. They've shown us nothing but great work when C.J. Stroud is in there. They should be able to go toe-to-toe with that Cleveland defense. It'll be fun to see it play out and also see where that line actually ends up, because 2.5 is always an ominous line. Does it move to 3 to jump on? Does it move less here? Yeah. We'll find out later in the week once we get a surefire look at C.J. Stroud coming back here.
Only the Panthers, Donnie, have a worse road cover percentage than that of Cleveland, who is 1-4-1 against the spread on the road this season, not covering by an average margin of close to 5 points per game. But again, Houston as the favored side this year in terms of just their win-loss record, 3-3. So not below 500, but at 500. But they're not winning games by close to a touchdown. I believe just 2-4 against the spread, or maybe 1-5 ATS for the Texans as a favorite this year. Indianapolis has been great on the road. Indianapolis has been great as a slight favorite, as we have shared. The Falcons much better at home, though, than they have been on the road in each of the last 2 years under Arthur Smith. And to tie things up in the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars, 5-1 away from Duval County this year. That includes a game in London. They won both of their games in London. One, they were booked as the home team. The other one, they were the road team. But even in true road games this year, stateside in the NFL, Jacksonville is both 4-1 straight up and 4-1 against the spread in terms of covering numbers. I'm talking myself into the Jaguars. They just got to slow down Baker Mayfield and what has become a really outstanding offense for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and by the way, you take a look at these three games this weekend and how much fun it is to talk about them, Ben. 1.5, 1.5, and 1.5 right now, basically, or 2.5 across the board. It's sensational stuff here, and it's going to be fun to see because so many moving parts, whether it's playoff positioning or just who the heck is going to be your quarterback this weekend. We got to keep track of these lines all week long.
Who's going to make the playoffs? And if they do, can any of the numerous teams we just mentioned actually make some postseason noise? College basketball up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on a Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid, closing out hour number two. I'm Ben, he's Donnie, and this is the Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. You scan the QR code on your screen in a matter of moments. All of our insight and information available in the palm of your hand. We'll have some more college basketball thoughts later on in hour number two. The one, the only, the incomparable John Rothstein will join us to end out our third and final hour. But before we get to the end of hour two and the start of hour three, we wanted to hear from you, the people out there. It's time for Fade the Public. So we're getting to conference time in college basketball. Christmas break for the kiddos. When we come back on the other side, it's a new year, and even Donnie Wrightside will want to watch some college basketball. So who is the best team in men's college hoops at this moment? Purdue, Arizona, and UConn. Three best prices to win a national championship right now on FanDuel, or everybody else of the 362 Division I men's college basketball teams. I guess the 359 others. Donnie, right now, most of the public is going with UConn, then followed by other. We had a couple of write-in votes like Kansas in there as well. Donnie, who do you think is the best team in college basketball at this moment?
I preface this by saying UConn does have a special place in my heart because they cashed in a 25-1 ticket before the tournament last year. But having said that, you take a look at Purdue, 24% of the votes. Arizona, 17.6% of the votes. UConn, 32.4%. And then bringing up the other brigade, 25.7%. You might say, Ben or Donnie, where did you actually go here in this? I voted for other. And you say, oh, he likes the Duke Blue Devils. Marquette, who do you like? No, it's as simple as this. I haven't watched Purdue, Arizona, or UConn play a minute of basketball. I actually don't know. So let's really leave it up to the public at this point, right? There you go, man of the people. Get your votes out there. Sway me.
What am I supposed to do with that? We'll see you in hour three in 55 seconds.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.